Well, firstly, just with the shooting this past week, want to just say that Jesus is close with the victims, that he suffered with them, and that he weeps with the families as he wept at the graves of Lazarus, and as he suffered for our sins on his cross. I didn't feel called to say a whole homily about it, but it's certainly on my heart and my mind, as I'm sure it is for many of you and in our prayers today. Jesus and the Father have a special love for the poor. This gospel today is in the window that I face from the celebrant's chair at every Mass of inviting the poor, the blind, and the lame to the banquet. And a question I have asked myself many times is, why does Jesus have a special love for the poor? It's closely related to another question of, why does Jesus have a special love for children? With children, it seems like there's a little more to love, that they are ignorant of much of the sin of the world, both by knowledge and experience. But we cannot imitate a child's ignorance. We could imitate a poor person's poverty, but that's probably not what Jesus is calling us to. But why does Jesus love the poor? Are they holier? Not necessarily. Are they more grateful for what they do have, more joyful? If any of you have spent any time working with the homeless, I think you know the answer is no, at least not as a group. Did Mother Teresa see Jesus in the poor because they loved like Jesus? No, she saw Jesus in the poor because they demanded love, as Jesus does from the cross. I thirst for love, for someone to see my humanity, my eternal soul for which Jesus suffered and died. Even before I had the opportunity to go to Guatemala for Spanish immersion and a little mission work, I never liked this simplistic idea of canonizing the poor. Oh, they're just so joyful. They have nothing, and yet they're so joyful. Their problems just aren't as complicated as paying the bills that we have to pay and worrying about my teenager learning to drive and the family drama, or for college students that go on mission trips, you know, writing term papers and finishing assignments and sports practice, all the complicated things that we have to deal with in the third world. Their problems are just more simple and they're more joyful for it. Well, during my time there in Guatemala, I saw firsthand that the poor are not just more joyful. The adults are worried about the future, often traumatized by the past. They worry about being able to provide for their family, worry about crime, complain about unreliable utilities, government corruption, etc., etc. There was one sense in which that stereotype was true. The children are more joyful, and they're incredibly resilient. And truly, it was the children living in the greatest destitution, the poorest areas, that were the most joyful. But I felt this love of Christ for the poor, a love that Blessed Stanley Rother had in Guatemala, as both Father Borkenhagen and I visited his shrine this past week. And the poor, as one priest told me, make you feel your fatherhood as a priest. They're very needy. This can be demanding, exhausting, even at times exasperating for the priests that serve them, but they make you feel your fatherhood. So why do I tell you this? Well, what makes the poor different, or especially beloved by Christ, I would say, is a certain simplicity. That simplicity is not entirely off the mark, in that simplicity, in that there is no sin of self-reliance among the poor. They tell you their needs. They're always asking for something. Well, we are not justified by the law. We're not justified by following the law of God, by being good Catholics. And yet it is easy for us who are rich to fall into this self-reliance mentality. Because we have this experience in our worldly lives, if I spend my money responsibly and I stick to my budget, I'll be able to pay my bills, pay off my debt, be able to take a vacation this year. We who are rich can plan our future, financial and otherwise. Those who are poor cannot, and yes, sometimes to a certain degree will not, look beyond today, tomorrow, next week, maybe next month. The poor know that they cannot provide their daily bread for themselves on their own efforts. Well, sometimes we forget spiritually that we are not our own savior because our lives are more put together. And if you're saying, well, not mine, well, then Jesus has a special love for you. But we rich can rely on ourselves. If I can get myself out of financial trouble by hard work, or I can fix broken things in my house, or I can take care of my car so that it lasts 250,000 miles, well then I can maintain my relationship with God through my own efforts. I can plan out what to give him and when. I can call him up and say, hey buddy, you know, I know I haven't been the best about keeping in touch, but I've just been doing what you wanted me to do. I've been paying my dues and I've come to cash in on them, to ask for something. Or when our relationship with him starts to slip, I can just apologize and I'll make it right somehow. I don't mean this homily to be about confession, but certainly take advantage of that sacrament to make things right. But just in general, we can fall into this self-reliance mentality that somehow we're entitled to the love of God, that we're special, that we're being responsible with what God has given us. We follow the laws of church and country, and so therefore we have earned the right to some good things from God in return. Well, we are special because we're God's children, but so is everyone else in this church. You don't have some entitlement that no one else does. I don't have some special entitlement to God's help for myself. Certainly he gives me special graces for my ministry, but if anything, I need to be even more careful to come to God as a beggar, not a planner. A beggar, not a planner. When we eat at God's table, when we are invited into the sacrifice of our Savior, there is nothing we can offer in return. If you're spiritually rich, feed yourself. But Jesus came to call sinners, not the righteous. People who need a Savior, not those who save themselves. So one, we can fall into self-reliance. And secondly, God does not want us to come to him with solutions. God does not want us to march up to the head of the table as the special guest of honor and say what needs to happen. I'm not saying we do that when we come to God with our solutions, but how often do we come to God in our prayer with what needs to happen for things to be set right? Often for me as a priest, I come to him telling him what role I need to play, what I need to be given the grace to do to bring God's grace into a specific situation or fix something. But God says, no, take the lowest place. Come to me with humility as one who needs me. If you can fix this yourself, then you don't need to be here asking me to fix it. God wants us to come to him as a child or as a poor person with problems, not solutions. So those of you who are parents know this, that these problems come to you all the time. We're out of milk. He hit me. I have a dirty diaper. Or sometimes they do come with solutions. All my problems would be resolved and I would be perfectly happy if I just had a dog. Well, I mean, I could understand a horse, you know, but when we come with solutions, oftentimes God asks us to humble ourselves, to take the low place, to be in a receptive mode. And the more that we're receptive to God's help, the more that we come to him needing with our need for him as a savior, then he invites us into and reveals to us more and more how he sees the world and invites us into his vision for the world. So let us reject self-reliance so that we may rely on God. Let us bring him our problems. When Jesus tells us to invite the poor, the blind, and the lame, he is speaking of, first of all, by example of his Father, that we are poor, blind, and lame. So when we invite those who cannot pay us back, he is only asking us to do what he has shown us how to do at every Mass.